Hey guys, welcome to WWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everyone.
So on tonight's show, what we're going to do is we're going to go over some news, and then we're going to go over the latest episode of Moon Knight. So, I don't know, does anyone, before we start the news, do they have anything to say that they'd like to share, or that they've been, well, I know you've been working on something, Jack.
Oh, yes, but I'm going to reserve talking about it until it's finished, you know, because Joe is going to hold his judgment until
I'm just messing with you. No, it looks great. I think, I'll start.
Okay. My latest project is the old MPC Star Wars Snowspeeder kit. And there's a lot of details on it that I'm currently updating on my Imager diary build. And one upgrade that I got was a new cockpit and pilot set. So, because the ones that came with the kit were molded back in the 80s and they were really terrible. So these are ultra detailed, very realistic, and they look great. So I've been painting those up, and as Joe and Fedra will attest, it's lots of tiny knobs and dials being painted. It's a larger scale than my other kits, which were 172nd scale. This is 122nd scale, which is actually a little harder than the smaller scale. Because if you're working with a smaller scale, you can kind of fudge some details with decals or trust the shadows that people aren't going to be able to pick it out. The fact that these are larger figures and it's a larger scale ship means you got to be a little bit more careful. You have to be a little bit more detailed. But it's coming along, and there'll be pictures up eventually. So that's been my latest touch of nerdiness.
The next time you put a picture up, put something to show scale, like how big it is. So, I don't know. You don't have a bowling ball, do you?
Well, I used to put a basketball. 72nd scale, I used to put a quarter next to things. I'll put a quarter next to these so you can see.
Is it that big? I mean, that small, where it's still like a quarter?
The 172nd scale, the pilots, the full body pilot could sit very comfortably on a nickel.
Wow.
So these guys are a little bit bigger. Each pilot, I guess, about, if he was standing, would be about 3 inches tall. Or maybe 2.5 or something like that. So he's a little bit bigger.
Pretty big. Yeah.
It's pretty detailed work, though.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, it's harder because you have to be more careful with the detail. When you're dealing with very small scale, the eye can't pick up things as easily. But now in 122nd scale, yeah, it's, if something is off or smudged, it's picked up very easily. So, but it's coming along. It looks good so far.
That's good.
I haven't started work on the main hulls yet too much. I basically got the cockpit and the pilot set, and I'm like, this is nice and tiny. Let me work on this first.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Get that out of the way first.
But it's a great little upgrade for the kit. So
you should make a snowspeeder in a bottle.
would need a jug of wine, not a bottle.
You could put like cotton balls and like dye them gray. So like when you put the speeder on, it looks like it's shipping through like a fog or something in the galaxy.
Yeah.
Well, I have no idea how to fit these things in a bottle other than, you know, cutting off the bottom and trying to glue it on so it wouldn't be noticed.
No,
it's crazy how people used to do that stuff. I think they used to make them collapsible and pull them taut with a string or something.
Yeah, that's beyond my skills. Hook. You had to like pull the sails back and then you slide it through the glass. I don't know how they did that.
Yeah, no, I would have no patience for that. If I was to do something like that, it would probably take about 10 years because I would just do a little at a time, like maybe work on it for 5 minutes. And then that's enough. That's enough for me. I'm going to go crazy if I keep working on this damn thing.
Here's the thing, though. You would think doing that small detail stuff would make you nuts. But the thing is, when you're working on it, you've got to put all that other crap out of your head and just concentrate what you're doing. So it's almost, I don't know, zen-like, Fedra? You know, you kind of, it's almost like a meditation because you're calming yourself down to concentrate on what you're doing. And you're just pushing all the other stuff aside for the hour that you work on it. And what, where people like you say, Joe, oh, 5 minutes, I'd go nuts. You know what? Once you start doing it, it actually is kind of relaxing.
That's good.
So it's my, my special therapy.
Good for you, Jack.
I don't twitch nearly as much as I used to, but I'm working on a model.
Well, I love the photos, so I'm excited for the update.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll continue putting them on to you, Fedra. Joe doesn't get to see anything until it's done now.
Okay. That's fine. If you want to play that way, that's fine. You got anything, Fedra?
No, not yet. I still got the homework to do, so I got to just make time to do that.
Okay. All right, let's get into the news. So there is a rumor out there that Daredevil and Kingpin will be reunited in the Disney Plus series Echo. That's all I know. It's a rumor. Does that make any good sense? I'll say Fedra first, and she's just seen most of Daredevil or the whole three seasons. So, you know, it's fresh in her mind. You remember Echo? Echo was from... Echo was from Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they're going to twist all that. I mean, is Echo going to be finding her way to Kingpin? And then there might be a whole smorgasbord of stories through that. But, I mean, I don't know. She wasn't really a character that I grasped in the show. Like, I didn't really felt much for her yet. So maybe in that show it would develop more if they show that, but I just don't know how they're going to pair all of them together. Does that mean that in Echo is Hawkeye going to make an appearance in there too?
I forgot all about Hawkeye. I mean, a lot of it. I know the general gist of it, but did they make peace, Echo and Hawkeye? Anybody?
Not really.
I would say more of a truce than a peace. Hawkeye gave her information, so she knew that Fisk had killed her father, and she just turned her focus from Hawkeye to Fisk. I don't know if that's really the two of them making peace or not.
Okay. So what about you, Jack? You think that's a good mix to have her, or have them in her series?
What it sounds to me is that Disney realized after announcing the whole Echo series that this was a series no one particularly wanted or was all that interested in. So they knew she had a connection with Fisk. So Vincent D'Onofrio was always like, he's ready to come back and play because he loves playing the character. And he's just awesome in that role. But then they got Charlie Cox back with Spider-Man No Way Home. And he's like, yeah, heck, I'll come back for Daredevil. So it's almost seems like, well, let's see, if we have Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio, we probably could make a Daredevil season 4, but we've already brought this Echo character in and we've said we're making a series. So let's kind of turn Echo into Daredevil season 4. You know, I mean, honestly, I just don't get the appeal of the character. It might be great that the actress is deaf and communicates with sign language. That's terrific. But the character that they've made just isn't that interesting. At least in the comics, she has the ability, like the Taskmaster, to copy anybody's fighting style or talents. So, you know, you could have her know how to shoot like Hawkeye, have her know how to sword fight like the swordsman, or even do kung fu like Shang-Chi. You know, you could have fun with her that way, but that's not the character they introduced in Hawkeye. She's just your typical fighter girl, and except she's deaf, and that's just not that interesting. So who knows what they'll do. I think this is going to be like a soft version of Daredevil season 4.
I think what they're doing is it's kind of like the Mandalorian being in the Book of Boba Fett. They just kind of threw him in there just in case things weren't going that well, that it might bring more viewers into the mix knowing that he was in there. And I think that they're probably going to do that with Daredevil and Kingpin. I don't think they're going to be in through the whole series. They might be in one or two episodes. Kingpin maybe more. Daredevil maybe one or two episodes, like the Mandalorian. But you're right, Jack. She's not interesting. And one of the biggest flaws that she has for me that I have for most characters like her is she needs a costume. And that's part of the reason why I was not a fan of a lot of the Netflix series. Well, first of all, whenever Daredevil was out of costume, we'll get into that. But he had to have the authentic costume. And for most of the first season, he didn't. And that kind of pissed me off. But when he finally had it, it was good. Who else was I going to mention too? Jessica Jones, another one. And she's got no costume. I'm not interested in her. I mean, I'm sorry. It's probably a good series, but it seems like most of the Netflix characters, just like people that are walking on the street, because I don't even know, did Iron Fist, I might've watched one episode of Iron Fist. Did he have that full costume from the comics?
I think when he was like training, he had something similar, but overall he was just in regular street clothes. Now, Jessica Jones's angle is she's a private investigator. So she's not going to wear a costume because that's going to draw too much attention to her. You know, she's supposed to be able to walk around and not be noticed all that much. I think Kristen Ritter did a great job as her in the first season.
I thought she was good.
I couldn't make it through the second season. I don't know why, but Jessica Jones doesn't need a costume. Luke Cage, though, I think while he doesn't need the, V-neck and the chain belt and the aluminum tiara, you know, I think at least they should have him walking around with, like, you know, the yellow shirt and the black pants.
Well, he kind of had that at times, but
at times he had it, but most times it looked like were just regular clothes.
Well, even when he was in, when I used to collect him back in the day, I would rather him have more of a costume than what he had. He was cool looking. I would say mostly back when, again, in the 70s, he had the afro and all that, which I kind of liked. You know, now it doesn't really make sense to have that with the character. You know, the guy who played him, he looked good, but again, I just wish they would add costumes. They could make a costume for him. Come on. It's got to be easy. But I want to address your point, too, with the character of Echo, that she's just not interesting. And yeah, that's, I agree with you there. And it's interesting, too, that it seems like Disney and Marvel are kind of like patting themselves on the back because they're pushing a lot of representation or inclusiveness. And one thing that they want to do is, I guess, portray handicapped people in situations or superheroes And when you think about it, they had two recent ones. They had Echo and they had that girl from Eternals that was also deaf. And neither one of them were really interesting to me. If they want to focus on somebody that has a handicap that's interesting, Daredevil. Daredevil's blind. And I still wish they could do so much more with him. I wish they would just give him his own movie. I don't want him to have a Disney Plus series. I would rather him have his own movie. Bring Charlie Cox, bring Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin, but just give me 2 hours of a movie. They won't do 13 episodes again because it seems like they're always short with these series. Like 8 is the most, I think. But yeah.
Well, the thing though is Echo, her being handicapped isn't that big of an issue. That's not what makes her uninteresting. What makes her
uninteresting is I'm not saying that.
She doesn't, like in the comics, she has superpowers. She's a superhero. Just being able to fight doesn't make you a superhero. I mean, people always had the complaint, like, why is Hawkeye hanging out with Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, these other characters? Yeah, you know what? We've seen that enough because Hawkeye, Black Widow, we've seen them go and hold their own on a team with these other incredible superpowered characters. On her own, you know, that just, it's missing something. It's missing that hook. And like I said, I just don't think she needs something to set her apart from another girl who can fight. We saw girls who can fight with Black Widow. We've seen them on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, we need to add a little something more. Make her into what the Taskmaster should have been. And I think we'd all be like, oh, man, that's so great how she's, you know, look, she just grabbed a garbage lid and threw it like Captain America. You know, throwing little bits like that. And I think we'd all be looking much forward to her having a series. But who knows? That's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, that's me too. Anyway, let's get on the next one. So Jared Leto apparently went overboard with his method acting on the set of Morbius, and he would use crutches to get around the set, including going to the bathroom. That eventually the crew got tired of it and the director got tired of it. So as a compromise, they gave him a wheelchair because he was taking like 45-minute bathroom breaks because he was struggling, I guess, trying to get on the bowl. I don't know. So I'll ask you, Jack, have you seen Morbius? Because you were looking forward to it.
I know I haven't, and I still want to see it, but you know, it's kind of hard to shut down where you hear and all the people bash it and stuff. And then you hear of Leto's stupid antics is, you know, seriously, it's like, it all just screams, pay attention to me, pay attention to me.
Yeah.
You know, just like when he was doing his shenanigans as the Joker, you know, pay attention to me. I'm so deep. Look, I'm on crutches. I'm in a wheelchair. No, you're pretending you have a situation. If anything, it's belittling people who need crutches to move around because of a problem or who need a wheelchair. It's like, dude, you know, you're the star of the movie. How much more attention do you need on you? You know, freaking grow up. Just do your job and act.
Fedra?
Yeah, I really agree. I think that I can understand in his own time, he can do that. But when you're on a set, and I've actually worked on sets, you have to stay to that schedule. There's a purpose for that schedule. Everyone's on it. So when you start to, you know, make accommodations for yourself, just because, oh, I'm the lead character, so I'm going to take 45 minutes to do that, it's actually more disrespectful to the entire crew, which, you know, actors really need to think about that and not just about themselves and putting themselves into that character. I understand that that's important, but when you're now dragging along the schedule that thousands of other people are on that crew, it's just not right. You know, it really screams drama queen or him and his ego of like, well, I'm going to take however long it takes. And it's like, bro, this whole film is not just about you.
I think the biggest mistake that the Academy did was give him an Oscar, because that inflated his head so big. He could be one of the floats in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. And because of that, he thinks he's special, but I think he sucks. I didn't see Dallas Buyers Club. I'm sure he was good in it, but I haven't seen anything this idiot is good in. And to me, he's like the kiss of death when he's in a movie that ends up sucking. And he's usually the one that stands out the most as the suckiest, because, you know, he played the Joker, made such a big deal out of it. Like Jack said, he did his method acting and he was sending, I think, dead rats to Margot Robbie and other sort of weird things. And now with this crap, and he's going to do Tron, the sequel to Tron Legacy, which he's just going to destroy that franchise if he's in it. I don't understand why this guy is getting work, because none of his movies really make money. He seems like a disaster. And I just don't think he's a good actor. It just annoys me that Hollywood feels like, well, if he's in our movie, we got a good chance. Hopefully after this one, people wake up and say, you know what? Maybe this guy should go on TV, like do a reboot of what's that Charlie Sheen, John Cryer thing?
Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men. Yeah. Put him in.
Oh,
it.
Wow.
Replace Ashton Kutcher or whatever the hell his name is. Can't stand that idiot either.
I mean, I don't like him either. I think he was great in The Buyers Club, but I
did see it.
Yeah, I did. And I think it was fantastic. Him and Matthew McConaughey had such great chemistry in those scenes. And it displayed very important things that needed to be shown in that film. But also, like, I agree with you that maybe that turned his big head. But quite honestly, I think he's always been that way. Ever since he was in the band, like, he's just always had that kind of avant-garde, morbid kind of acting.
You know,
it's 3 Seconds to Mars, I believe.
Oh yeah. Ugh. Wish he would have just stuck to the band. And again,
well, I mean, you make more money with movies, though.
Oh, you do. I mean, it's just there's some actors I just feel. I don't understand. I could see, like, we don't have to bring up Will Smith because we had talked about it. I'm just saying, like, there's a fan base for Will Smith. I'm not a fan of his movies, but he brings in money. So, of course, they're going to hire him over and over again. This guy, he doesn't bring in any money. I think he's a disaster. Well, we'll see. Hopefully, we see less and less of him on the big screen. All right. So Simu Liu, who played Shang-Chi, says he will not sign Shang-Chi comic books for fans. And the reasoning is, I don't know if it's his management team or his agency, but they feel that it's racist and offensive. He's supposed to make an appearance at Awesome Con this June, but the website said that he will not sign any Master of Kung Fu comics or anything that he deems offensive. All autographs from Simu will be signed in English only. So what do you think about that, Fedra?
I mean, I could see why he wouldn't sign the comics, because he didn't create them and he's not a writer. He's just displaying the character of film. But I mean, like, was he interviewed, like, or he just made that statement? Because I think that's really pompous if he just came out and was like, I'm not signing anything, how dare you, you know?
Well, he's going to sign stuff. Like, he might sign a Shang-Chi poster, but he won't sign a comic book.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, yeah, get his headshot or get a poster, but yeah, I wouldn't give him a comic to sign. I would want the writer or the illustrator to sign it, not him.
That's a great point, Fedra.
Thank you. I love it when I'm on Joe's good side.
Jack?
Well, I've been to Comic Cons where people show up with all sorts of stuff to be signed. I do understand back in the 70s, it was a very weird time where you could get away with stuff that would never fly nowadays. The Fu Manchu villains that they had in Shang-Chi are very much Asian stereotypes. But you know what? That's what comic books were like back then. The same way we talked about Luke Cage a little while ago. Luke Cage was walking around calling people honkies and whitey and all sorts of stuff that would never fly in a comic book today. But it was the 70s, and that's what was on TV, and that's how they spoke in the comic books. And the same way you had David Carradine walking around in the Old West, you know, spouting Chinese TV, Chinese philosophy, you know, that was just what was out there. And you know what? If it wasn't for those comics in the 70s, guess what, buddy? You wouldn't have been signed to Marvel to portray the character. So, you know, rein it down a little bit.
Facts. You know,
I'm with you, Fedra. If I have a comic, I would much rather have the artist or the writer sign it than somebody in a movie. Because honestly, that's the same thing as just having, there's no value to that autograph on that comic, because it is not that person's body of work. He's just portraying it. But on the other hand, if somebody has a comic book and would like to have the star of that character's movie sign it, go for it. You know, like I said, people get all sorts of weird stuff signed all the time. For this guy to be like, oh, I refuse to sign it. It's like, you know, once again, you know, dial it down a bit, buddy. You know, you've had one big movie. That doesn't mean, you know, you get to act like you're Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, you guys have...
Who would probably sign, you know, anything? Because that's just the way he is. It's like
totally,
if I brought my 7-Eleven cup over, he'd be like, sure, I'll sign that. You know, it's like, come on. You know, if you're going to be in a comic book movie, embrace the comic book culture and just go along with it. Don't.
I mean, you know, I'll co-sign with you, Jack. I mean, if you're aiming to be a celebrity, like a well-known actor in entertainment, that's like part of it. I think I don't feel like that's just the joy of it. I can't imagine people always hounding you down for your signature or a photo, but I'm sorry, that's your job. There's a job description, and as that, it's getting autographs. So I'm with you on that. I mean, I don't personally like it because, as I said, I think it's the writer and the illustrator that should get that recognition of the body of that work if they're showing like a graphic novel or a comic. But yeah, like you said, if there's like a, you know, back in the day, you know, when, you know, McDonald's used to have those like supersized cups and they'd have like Batman on it, or they'd have like any of the superheroes on it. And if you want to sign it, like, how would you say no? Like, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the kid that goes up to him and says, can you sign Shang-Chi? And he's going to be like, no, absolutely not. Take this kid away from me. Like, really?
Well, it's not even like the kids, but I mean, granted, there is a time and place for everything. If he is at dinner and somebody comes up with a comic book, it's sort of like, dude, you know, I'll say hello and everything, but I'm not going to do that right now. This is my personal time. But if he's at a Comic-Con or a convention or something, and he's there in an autograph capacity, just sign it. I mean, this is embrace the fans that are making you the money, that are making you popular. Embrace them. You know, don't, like I said, get on your high horse and say, no, sorry, you know, that's offensive to me, so I won't sign it. A comic book that was mass produced and put out for media consumption can only be so offensive, you know, and like I said, I don't get it, but that's his cross to bear. If he starts getting bad fan press and he starts coming across as not fan friendly, you sure somebody from Disney's going to call up and say, no, that stuff doesn't fly, because as you said, Disney believes that's part of their job, being fan friendly and fan service. That's part of their job, to not only, you know, sell themselves, but sell the character. And if he gets that kind of reputation, Disney will put him into place. Or you know what? Disney just won't make another Shang-Chi movie. They won't use him.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. And Fedra, you made an excellent point again. So that's another happy Woo-hoo! Face on your on the refrigerator for you. Yeah, like if I had a copy of like the first print of The Dark Knight Returns, I want Frank Miller to sign it. I don't want Michael Keaton to sign it. But if there was an adaptation of Batman the movie from 1989... Yeah, I wouldn't want Michael Keaton to sign it.
You'd be
what, The Dark Knight Returns first print?
Sign my comic book.
Well, but I'm just saying, not that one. I don't know. I mean, if I didn't have anything else, if I just happened to be carrying around my Dark Knight Returns, okay, yeah, maybe.
If you knew Christopher Reeve back in the day was going to be somewhere, you would grab any Superman comic book and ask him to sign
it. See, this idiot loves to argue with me.
He'd take the poster that's behind him and have him sign that.
Well, that's not
absolutely
even
him. He would.
No, but before you're against what you're, you know, you were on my side. You're just arguing for the sake of arguing with me. You know, you're a pain. No, my point
no, but
is...
I hear you, Joe. I do understand. I'm only messing with you.
Oh, thank you. I can sleep tonight.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's just that I think his problem... What is his name? Simu Liu? He's got a big head now, kind of. And I think he's a little woke. People are oversensitive. If a little kid comes and he's got an old Shang-Chi comic book and he has him asks him to sign it, yeah, and there's maybe what people might be considered an offensive stereotype of a character, you should just laugh at it and say, well, that's kind of goofy, isn't it? You know, because instead of, you know, he's just trying to make a point. And I think that probably 99.9% of the people that go to see him that he's getting paid for, you know, they're paying him to be there. And also you have to pay money for him to sign anything too, on top of that.
Oh yeah.
That they're not going to ask him to sign a comic book. He just had to make that statement to make him look like he's above everybody else and that he's against racism and all that. You should be trying to bring people together. And if you want to, if somebody does
it, it's okay to be against racism, but this is not the hill to plant your flag on.
You know, he could say, is he that offended? I mean, he should have never taken the role if that's the case.
True.
If it's, you know, like if a little kid brings in a comic book and it's got a Fu Manchu, you know, he might say, and he goes, well, I'll be honest with you, as an Asian man, I kind of find that offensive just because it's like a stereotype. Like he might say something like that, but again, it's going to be extremely rare, but I think he just makes that statement to like, look at me, put the attention on me, because I want everybody to know that I am not going to take any form of racism at this rinky dink Comic Con that they're having. Awesome con. Never heard of it. But again, he's got to make a little stink out about it. Anyway, he's an idiot.
Here's the thing, though. As offensive with stereotypes as those comics could be, they had some of the most beautiful looking artwork ever. The old Shang-Chi series, I remember some of them, and they had like the Steranko look where it was very stylized and very cool. The same way Gene Colan gave Tomb of Dracula a very different look from Mike Ploog on Werewolf by Night. These comics were illustrated in such a stylish way that, yeah, they did have, you know, the villain have the long Chinese mustache, you know, and he was colored yellow like the Simpsons instead of how people are actually colored in real life. But these books, the artwork looked very cool and was very stylized. And I think they're just ruled out, like as if they have no value because, you know, someone took offense to them. I mean, if anybody wants to, any listeners want to, go look up a couple of pages online of the old Shang-Chi Master of Kung Fu comics, and you'll see some of that stuff the same way. The three I mentioned, Shang-Chi, Tomb of Dracula, and Werewolf by Night. Just look at the artwork on some of those initial issues, and it is leaps and bounds of some of the crap we see printed today. I mean, like I said, look at it and make your own decision rather than just listening to this guy who was paid millions of dollars to play a character on screen. Make up your own mind that say, is this worthwhile or not? Because some of that stuff looks gorgeous.
And support the art.
Yeah. Support your comic book industry. God knows they need it.
Yeah. He just needs to be grateful that he's got this role and not piss and moan over stupid little things like that. Oh, speaking of Werewolf by Night, apparently there was a Funko Pop leak, and I don't know if it was an actual Funko Pop or just what they had, future Funko Pops that are going to be released for Moon Knight in writing. I don't think that we've seen it visually, what the Funko Pop looks like, but apparently Werewolf by Night might be making an appearance in Moon Knight. And I'm sure Jack's very happy about that.
I'm all for it.
What?
I'm all for it. The original Werewolf by Night. They did a recent relaunch, which was strange as hell.
What's the difference between him and the Wolfman?
The Wolfman only comes out in full moon. A werewolf comes out anytime.
During the day?
I believe that's the difference. But, I mean, the fun of it, once again, Fedra, it's before your time, but back in the 70s, you know, you would just have this guy walking down the street and someone would mess with them. And then they'd realize, oh, crap, it's a werewolf. You know, that was the story. And he had this girl that he was always hanging around with, Topaz. And she was like a telepathic witch or something. So she could keep him calmed down from killing anybody. But he would still mangle people and stuff. But it was just a very 70s horror comic book. God, I used to love it.
Yeah, Fedra, would you buy a werewolf comic book?
I mean, not now. Maybe when I was in elementary and in high school, but not now. I'm kind of over the whole werewolf and vampire bit. I think I'm going toward more superhero. I think now if I wanted to get back into it, I'd probably like to look at older Black Widow stuff. I'd like to check out the Shang-Chi art, things like that.
The old Nick Fury stuff you might like too.
Mm,
No, Fedra, just stay away from that. The Nick Fury stuff.
Come on.
He couldn't have been more boring. What? With the white Nick Fury?
Yes.
He was
with the eye patch with a cigar hanging out of his mouth.
He was boring as hell. Just, you're recommending Nick Fury? You can definitely find something better to recommend to her other than Nick Fury. Please.
If she's looking, but the artwork on next Nick Fury with Starenko was just wild. You know what? After this is over, I'm going to send you a couple of pages.
All right, fine.
And you can see exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Exciting.
I remember, Jack, when we used to get those giant size comic books, like they were huge.
Used to love them.
Yeah, no, I used to love them too. But every now and then they used to combine them into like you would get like a Spider-Man story, a Hulk story, a Thor story. And then they put crappy Nick Fury in there and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I was so pissed. I felt like that's not worth my $1.25. You know, I want
$1.50.
Yeah, maybe it was $1.50. No, I want superheroes. He's not a superhero. I just don't like him. And getting back to this story to begin with, a werewolf is not a superhero. Werewolves and vampires and Frankenstein's monster do not belong in comic books or in the MCU. Period.
The '70s were a strange time, my friend. You should remember that.
Exactly. But let that die. Don't bring it back into the current time. I mean, they're giving him his own show, Werewolf by Night. How is that a superhero? Again, I never picked it up. I've seen it on the stand so many times, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Why would I want to buy a comic book about a werewolf? Is he a superhero? Is he a good guy? Is the werewolf a good guy? Because a werewolf usually is a bad guy, right?
The whole story, Werewolf by Night, is he inherits the curse from his father. He doesn't get bit by a werewolf. He inherits the curse when he turns 18. And once again,
it's like Teen Wolf.
I guess it predates Teen Wolf by a long time.
I know.
But it's brought around because his dad was messing around with the Darkhold, which is a big part of WandaVision and upcoming Doctor Strange movie. You know, so this is one of the cases where the Darkhold shows up all through Marvel titles through the years. And the main story of the book is he's trying to get the curse broken. And he rescues Topaz. I'm not sure why she stays with them, because why would you want to hang out with a werewolf? But she loves him, and she's helping him find a way to break the curse. So that's the overlying plot of the whole series. But like I said, he goes around, he starts getting people start messing with him, and he gets in trouble. Sort of like the Hulk with you all.
Oh,
like
it definitely sounds like the Hulk.
Angry, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely sounds like the Hulk, but
yeah.
Just answer me this, though. Is he a good guy? Like, does he basically, if he turns into a werewolf, does he just start ripping apart people at random?
No, the werewolf is kind of under control. Like, it doesn't go out and just attack random people. And like I said, Topaz reins him in whenever he becomes too animalistic and starts to go into like a berserker rage or anything. She sort of reins him down with her powers. So, like I said, it was the 70s. It was a weird time. But right. You know what? It was a heck of a lot of fun.
I'm happy for you, Jack. You get to see him a little early.
Be happy for me. Buy that Funko Pop, folks.
So I didn't send you this story, but I'm going to throw it in here because it's kind of easy to decipher for you guys. But Mark Hamill was recently asked on Twitter what was his unpopular Star Wars opinion? And his answer was that the Star Wars Christmas special was underappreciated. Now, Fedra, did you ever see the Star Wars Christmas special?
I have not. In fact, it was because of you a long time ago that you shared it with me that I ever even knew it existed.
Well, it's on YouTube if you ever want to watch it, but Jack, do you think that Do you agree with Mark Hamill that it's underappreciated?
I can't say it's underappreciated because it's just so god awful. It did have a couple of moments in there that, you know, I liked, which Joe says I'm crazy for liking, of course. But overall, it was just god awful. And Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher were like stoned and glassy eyed whenever they were on screen. Carrie Fisher sings. She wasn't the best singer. Chewbacca's family was a very warped experience as well. Yeah, I don't think saying it was underappreciated. No. I think it's exactly what people say it was. It was just awful with maybe a few bright moments.
It wasn't great. It was made for kids, but it was very weird. Like I'm pretty sure the first 15 minutes has no talking whatsoever other than Wookiees and no subtitles. Like the Wookiees are talking to each other with no subtitles.
Well, I have to say that's good.
Well,
because Chewbacca never had subtitles.
That's true.
They shouldn't give his family
but
subtitles.
But they should have a translator there, you know, like a human translator to say what's going on. But you could kind of figure out what's going on. It's weird. But you know what it is? It's history. And I think if you're a Star Wars fan, you need to see it because there is a lot of good things in there. First of all, it's got the original cast in there. It's got Harrison Ford. It's got Carrie Fisher. It's got Mark Hamill. I don't know if that was David Prowse. Anthony Daniels did the voice for C-3PO. And it's goofy, but it's kind of fun. Like if you want to see more of Han, Luke, and Leia, they're there. It's
they
definitely
were there.
Kinda...
That's about all you could say. They were there.
They all were high.
They were there. Not and they were good, not that they were bad, just they were there.
There's some fun. It's one of those things, it's like Mystery Science Theater, where you can watch it and you can goof on it. And it's so bad that it's good. It does.
You know what? You're right. It should be a Mystery Science Theater episode.
I think it's a Riff Track one. They did it on Riff Tracks. But it has the first introduction of Boba Fett in there. And I think Slave One is in there too. There's an animated piece in there that they just threw in there, but it's just so bizarre. Chewbacca has a family and Chewbacca's with Han Solo. And he's trying to get back for Life Day, which is their version of Christmas. And Chewbacca's wife, I think it was Mara.
Chewbacca has a wife?
Yeah. And she
and
has
a kid and a grandpa. Don't forget grandpa.
Father-in-law.
Father-in-law Chewbacca. Okay.
But the wife had an apron on.
Oh, that's cute.
She was in the kitchen and she was cooking. She was watching TV and they had some cooking show.
Yeah, cooking show.
A Chewy cooking show. Oh, yeah. This is so good. I have to see this now.
Bea Arthur, isn't it? She sings.
The Bea Arthur scene I thought was good. They recreated the Mos Eisley bar scene.
Oh, okay.
And it was being closed down by the stormtrooper. The Empire were like, okay, that's it. Everybody out. We're closing it down. And she sings like a closing time song. And not the best singer, but just to see all those characters remade up, you know, with the practical effects and the makeup.
No, that was, again, it's history.
Yeah, like I said, that was one of the two high points of the show for me.
I would much rather watch that than The Rise of Skywalker. Because it's fun.
No.
A Star Wars movie has to be fun, and this is a little fun. It's, again, someone, when they wrote this, they thought that it was a good idea and it was a good story. But it wasn't. But it's just so funny. I mean, there's a part where it's supposed to be Christmas, so they're all getting gifts. And the grandfather gets this gift where it's kind of like a porno in a TV. It's a hologram. I think it's Diane Carroll. And she's like
scantily clad women doing like aerial acts or something weird. I don't know.
And Jefferson Airplane is in there too. Yeah.
But the thing is, you look at, you have to look at the Wookiee grandpa's face. It's like, I'm a creepy old guy.
Is his name, I forget, was the kid named Lumpy or was he Lumpy?
I think the kid was Lumpy. But it's painful. Watch it in small doses, Fedra. You won't make it the whole.
I'll send you a link to it, Fedra.
Okay.
Marvel, and what's great about it is the majority of it, it has commercials from the 70s, too.
Oh, nice. I love that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I have it on.
I love the nostalgia.
It's the Kenner Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, the 70s and the 80s. They were so good. They really got you to love those toys.
Jeez. Oh, yeah.
No, they were pushing toys, but they were also selling Chevrolets, and they had the look for the union label. It's great. It's just not nostalgia. I think I agree with Mark Hamill. It's very rare, but I'm going to say, yes, Mark Hamill, you're right in this one. It's underappreciated. It should be in the Smithsonian.
Oh, geez. Now you're just baiting me.
No, I'm not. Yeah. All right, last news story has to do with Ezra Miller. So Ezra Miller has been getting in a lot of trouble, this little boy here. And recently he got in trouble in Hawaii, and I think he had a fight with a couple that took him in. He got arrested. I forget exactly what happened. And then prior to that, I think it was last year, some fan went up to him, and I don't know if she was talking to him or asking for an autograph, but this video of him strangling her, and then he throws her down to the ground. This guy is, I would say, I don't know if he's completely messed up, but he's got problems. So Rolling Stone put out an article saying that Warner Brothers is discussing what to do with Ezra Miller after the recent problems that he's had. So they're thinking about putting some of his stuff on hold, because not only is in the Flash movie, which is supposed to be huge because it brings back Michael Keaton as Batman, and also a bunch of other superheroes will be in that movie, but he's also in that Harry Potter series, what is it called? Fantastic Beasts.
Is he in there? I don't remember him in the first one. Maybe, but oh, he I was know the in second it. One is out.
He was the creepy guy in the first one. I didn't see the second one.
Was but he?
Yeah.
He was, okay. I'll take your word for it. I'm not going to go back and look for it.
I don't know, Fedra, if you're familiar with Ezra Miller. He plays the Flash in Justice League.
Yeah, earlier I skimmed through the Rolling Stone article. I have it right here. And they actually mentioned Will Smith also. So, but yeah, I think it's very disturbing what he did. Apparently the couple has a restraining order against him because they're saying that he took like their wallet and the lady's passport, and he threatened them both. And I mean, I don't like how the article is also written, because they're trying to pair like his beliefs, like how he's unstable, but then he's also for gun rights. So I really don't like how that was written in the article, because it's just showing, you know, two things that are really not connected. But I think he definitely needs some maybe therapy or just some grounding, because he really does sound like he's off his rocker, like whether that's too much fame or maybe he has addiction issues. Like, I don't know what this guy's doing, but I mean, they were celebrating in Hawaii. So if you got drugs and alcohol, you know, anything, you just flip a switch. And I'm saying this from experience. So you just flip that switch. Somebody says something the wrong way, look at you the wrong way. And because you feel like you're a celebrity and you have all this wealth and power, you just can take advantage of situations. It's really uncalled for. I find it very, though, hypocritical that, you know, they're not taking him off, you know, Fantastic Beasts. But then when Johnny Depp had to go to court and really defend himself from being called a wife beater, he was taken off that cast.
Yeah.
But here, this guy literally injures, from what you're telling me, three people. And that's fact. That's like backed up with actual reports. And they're just discussing what to do with him. There's no discussion. If this was any other job, he'd be fired because those are actual crimes.
I mean,
you guys tell me what you think, but I mean, that's, to me, that's really ridiculous and very hypocritical.
Well, I think it's weird. I mean, you look at what happened with Gina Carino. I mean, Disney fired her for saying something on Twitter, and they're just deciding what to do with this guy. I think that the things that he's done recently are probably far more offensive and questionable, whether or not that they should retain this guy. I just don't get it. It's some people have a get out of jail free card in the Hollywood industry or the acting industry.
Uh-huh.
And it's possible he's got one. It's just bizarre. I would let him go. I thought he was okay as the Flash, but I'm not a huge Flash fan too. I had a couple of his comic books. It's always like whenever he got a new costume or mm-hmm. he was bringing in someone else to replace him or train, but he never caught on with me when I was younger. But if he did, I think I wouldn't have liked this Flash because it looks nothing like the character. He's got black hair. The Flash in the comics has got blonde hair. He's kind of a comedian or a comic relief in Justice League. And I don't think that that's what the Flash is, Barry Allen, in the comic books. But anyway, we'll get to Jack. What do you think?
I'd get rid of him.
Get rid of him.
His portrayal of the Flash bothered me in the Zack Snyder movie, and I just never saw what was so special about the guy, and the fact that he's such a jerk in real life. Studios don't need that. Nobody needs that. You know, let's face it, we're all supposed to be adults in the world, and there are some common guidelines we should follow, like don't grab a girl by the throat and slam her on the ground. You think that should be normally frowned upon in most societies. Yet this is what this jerk does. Get rid of him. That's all.
I remember even when that happened,
there should be a behavioral clause in these contracts that these studios sign, just like the NFL. Like,
I'm sure there is.
Great point. Yeah.
Well, what the heck is in that clause? Is this guy still getting hired?
Well, they're probably like, well, you know, it wasn't that bad. But I remember when that girl got choked, there were people like saying they didn't hear exactly what was going on. And we didn't see, it might have been out of context. We didn't see what she was doing beforehand. But
it doesn't matter. You should not grab people by the throat and slam them on the ground. The action itself is unjustified.
I agree.
So no,
my point that I was trying to make was that there were people defending him and saying that, well, she probably deserved it. And it's like, well, how do you know? You know, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, nobody deserves that. And again, if we go back to professionalism and this is a job, how does the other crew feel? How is the director going to feel?
Right.
They're never going to know how he's going to react. And I mean, that's my thing. Like, and I know maybe that's kind of boring of me and very practical, but like, this is a job. Like if you were at Burger King or a bank or a library and somebody saw that, or you had any kind of, you know, misdemeanor, I mean, you wouldn't be at that job, you know? And I mean, his fame and, you know, whatever, you know, connections he has is holding him on. And, you know, as far as a person, I mean, you've got some work ahead of you. I mean, if they don't, you know, take him off completely, I would say, you know, do the same thing as Will Smith, which is suspend him for a while and, you know, have him Maybe like you said, maybe like a clause where he has to go through a behavioral or seek a therapist or a psychologist just to make sure that he's, you know, sober and safe for everybody that he's working with. I think that's a very professional thing. Like that's not about demeaning or putting down anyone. If you have a mental health or a mental illness, you would do that for anyone to make sure that everyone's safe. And being like how he just, apparently this happened at a bar again. So that's two incidents at a bar. So that's why I'm really thinking this is an addictive thing where it's either drugs and alcohol or something, because that's no coincidence. But yeah, from the article, it says he just walked right up to her and choked her, and it was on video. And that's someone that, and that's someone you really can't predict their movements. And that's something that you cannot take lightly.
Yeah.
And I would say this, no matter what gender or sexual orientation or what, I really don't care. At that point, you're risking yourself, and you're a risk to yourself, and you're a risk to others. And you should be held accountable for that. There should be no excuse.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's get into it. Moon Knight. So the last time, who was it? It was Fedra and Tom and I, we had gone over Moon Knight, but Fedra hadn't seen it. But now Fedra has seen episode one of Moon Knight. So you've seen episode one, but you haven't seen episode two, right?
Right.
So let's go with you first. So what's your opinion on episode one?
If I were to rate it, I'd probably say it's a high six. I'm really not sold at all. And I know because you loved it and I was wanting to love it. And I'm not quite there yet. I think I know what they were doing, you know, film-wise with the cut edits and the music, and it's a dream. It's not a dream. It's in his head. It's not in his head. It's real. It's not real. You know, that's cute, you know? But I wasn't sold yet, sadly. I think the actor is phenomenal. The filming is beautiful. It was actually filmed in parts of Slovenia, if anyone wants to know. And it's just gorgeous. I love the museum scene because I'm just big on museums, and I do love Egyptian culture, and I will get to that. I like the ending. I like the ending that you finally see him in the suit and you see this other presence that's there. Ethan Hawke, I mean, it's great to see him. It's kind of funny because I don't know if you guys do this, but sometimes I see the actor in the films that I love the most. So as he's like walking to him, I just see him as Training Day, even though he's not a detective right now, but I just can't help it. I'm just like, yeah, yeah. But he's the villain now. So it's like, he's not the good guy. I like the whole like kind of guru hippie, but a villain type of look. That's pretty interesting. The Egyptian symbolism in here with the scarab, you know, the scarab is very popular in all of Egyptian history. It has said to have, you know, power and magic, which is, you know, nice that they're showing that. I love how they're blending the two in his dreams. What I mean by blending the two is that they're showing a really nice adaptation of schizophrenia or multiple personality or hearing voices, not knowing what is reality, not knowing time, not knowing date. And he's really trying to find control. However, if we look at the Egyptian side or the metaphysical side, it's actually showing also possession. And they did it very well in that scene where he's in the bathroom. You see the mirror, which is the projection of the infinite him and the infinite other. And he literally says, just like a vampire, you have to give me permission to take control. And he then took control. And I was just like, whoa, this is cool, but this is also creeping me out. So I'm really interested on where it's going to go. I know that you, Joe, were talking about Layla. So I only saw the phone and that she's been calling. And I'm like, who's Layla? And then he messed up the date. And I was like, man, I've been in those moments where, you know, somebody stands you up or, you know, they're late and you're just like sitting there and you're just like, I'll just have the steak. Like, that was a really nice, you know, personal moment. Like, I got that. I was like, I'm with you, man. I get it. You know, okay, Cupid and Tinder and Bubble and whatever one name, you know, platforms out there. I get it. You know, so that was a nice, you know, blend of reality in this series. But I mean, I like the little notations. I'm not quite there yet. And I want you to go over again, Joe, later. You know, of course, I want to hear Jack and I want to learn a lot from Jack now about this character. But you got to remind me why you loved this episode, because I don't see it.
Well, I'll go, Jack, and then you can go, because I know you're going to have a lot to say.
Okay.
I think part of it was that I went into it with low expectations. The first episode, I wasn't expecting much. I even told you guys that I would rather have seen Miss Marvel. I was looking forward to that more because I wanted something light. But this kind of just blew me away the first episode, just because, again, it actually had humor in it. And I thought it was going to just be complete darkness. And I thought Oscar Isaacs was incredible in the role that he played. I thought everybody seemed very natural. And it kept me entertained and it kept me hanging on because I wanted to see what was going to happen. But I want to get, since Jack's going to talk about, well, I guess you're going to talk about the first and the second episode, but I'm going to just talk about the second episode, say how I feel about that. So I gave the first one a 9 out of 10. I would say this one, I would give a 6 or a 7. I wasn't as enthused as I was with the previous one. And part of the problem that I have with this series now is that we've seen probably close to 2 hours of the Moon Knight series, and we've seen less than 10 minutes of Moon Knight. And I'm afraid that that's what's going to happen. And I've been discussing this with my friends. What bothers me, what Marvel does, is they feel that the actor is more important than the character that they're portraying. And we see that all the time. Like, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. was great as Iron Man and Tony Stark, but I want to see Iron Man when I see an Iron Man movie. I don't want to see Tony Stark 90% of the time. Same thing with Peter Parker. He doesn't have to take his mask off so we see Tom Holland all the time. I want to see Spider-Man. It's a Spider-Man movie. And I think, again, all of these actors are replaceable. Robert Downey Jr. might be a tough call, maybe Chris Evans, but I still think it's the character that's important. That's what people, it's a combination of both. Like, people, yeah, they are seeing, going to see Robert Downey Jr. But if that's the case, why didn't Doolittle do so well? Because it's the character he's portraying. It's kind of like James Bond, like where Daniel Craig, he's making $20 million a picture playing James Bond. He's never going to make that money doing anything else. And he's never going to see any box office like that unless he happens to be lucky and he gets into something like Knives Out again. And that's my problem. And it reminds me of the Hulk series with Lou Ferrigno and Bill Bixby, where you barely saw the Hulk in that series. We need to see more Moon Knight. I hope that that's the case. I also, another thing I noticed too, is that Oscar Isaacs, I think he's executive producer in the series. So he might have some kind of pull where we're seeing more of him than we are of the character. And to me, it's super important. I would say, all right, let's talk about, I know I'm going really long. I'll get to Jack pretty soon.
I'm not worried. Go for it.
Okay. Deadpool. When Ryan Reynolds played Deadpool, he was mostly Deadpool in that movie. I mean, every now and then he was his Wade Wilson, his alter ego, but he was mostly in costume. He was fine with having the mask on. And that's what we wanted to see. We want to see Deadpool. And even the recent The Batman movie, we see more of the Batman than we do of Bruce Wayne in that movie. And I guess that's just what I want. And I'm not seeing it right now with Moon Knight. I just hope that they make a turn and we see something better. But right now, I was disappointed in what happened in this episode. Just, I thought, you know, it was a decent episode, but come on, give me more Moon Knight. That's all. I want to see him. All right, Jack, go ahead.
Okay. Well, like you, Joe, I loved the first episode. I thought it was very clever how they introduced Steven with a V, where they made him very much of a everyman, I guess you want to say. You know, he's not particularly good at everything. He kind of has a crappy job, you know, but like he went to school and learned all about Egyptology, but, you know, the best thing he could do to make a living is work in the gift shop. You know, you get to meet him a bit. And then this stuff starts happening and he doesn't quite get it. And they did a good job of portraying his disorientation of things happening. And then he's like, wait, how did that happen? Like little things like the goldfish, like, wait a second, how come my goldfish has two fins today? You know, when he was missing one, how he's not quite sure where things fit together.
Wait, could you explain that to me too? Because I forgot about that.
Oh, it was simply because, you know, Mark Spencer took over and came back and
put a different goldfish. Really?
That's all I took from it. I mean, okay. You know, and of course, you know, I think it was Mark Spencer when he took over in those instances. He's like, all right, let me make sure that this Steven persona is taken care of. You know, the same way as he'd go out and do things, but when he came back, he would still retape the door so it looked like he never left the apartment, but he obviously was out and about good old London town. So I liked how they had that where Mark Spencer was aware of what was going on. And he was trying to keep Steven together. So I thought that was kind of a cool play on things. I love the Moon Knight costume. I think it looks great.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
And the whole bit with the jackal chasing him. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very cool. You know, it looked good. Where the jackal looked creepy enough. It didn't look too real. It looked like a hieroglyphic come to life. You know, that was little tall and lanky, and it didn't quite move like an animal normally would. You know, I just thought that was cool. And I thought, you know, it chasing him and then him getting in and, you know, just once he gets the costume on, you know, just beating the heck out of it. And he trashes it. I just liked everything in that episode. Ethan Hawke's character, I liked the bit where, you know, Steven wakes up, he's in the town, and it shows that Mark Spencer's still aware of what's going on, has some control, because he wouldn't just hand over the beetle, you know, the scarab, you know, and, you know, he pulls the hand away and starts, you know, somebody comes near him, Mark Spencer takes over and, like, pummels him. Meanwhile, Steven's like, no, stop. What the heck am I doing? I just thought that was a good way to handle the two personalities in charge of the body. So the first episode I thought was really great. Stephen Hawke, what's his name?
Ethan
Hawke. I think that villain could be interesting. Was interesting just from what we saw in the beginning. You didn't quite get where he was, but then you got to the point of the scales, and that's a big symbolism in Egyptology. Yes. You know, with their mythology and stuff, how souls are balanced and everything. And I thought that was a nice touch in how his followers all have the tattoo. Now, I don't know. I haven't noticed if the tattoo reflects which way all the followers are balanced. Because Ethan Hawke's character, you know, when he touches somebody, you see the scales moving up and down. I have to go back and look and see if each of those followers, their scales are even or if they're tilting one way or another. I didn't notice that. So I really liked a lot of stuff that they did in the first episode. The second episode, there was some good stuff in that I liked a lot. However, I didn't think there was anything overly groundbreaking in it. As we talked earlier before the show, because of that, I feel I can discuss it, even though Fedra hasn't seen the episode. There weren't that many big reveals, but what they did was they built upon a lot of stuff in the first episode. We got to see and hear a lot more of what Mark Spencer's character is about, you know, and some of that was cleared up and expanded upon. We got to meet Layla, who I thought she was okay. I know Joe thought she was a little bit of a Mary Sue. I didn't get that feel from her, you know, but I didn't mind that character a bit. And I did like the bit, like, she's calling him Mark, come on, call up the suit. Come on, you got to help us. You got to save our asses, you know, come on. And, you know, it's like, no, I'm Steven. I'm not Mark. You know, it was good to see that scene. A different Moon Knight incarnation comes out. I don't know enough about that Mr. Knight, I think they call him, or Mr. Moon in the comics. But that personality of Moon Knight coming out, that was a little bit different, but I was waiting for the classic Moon Knight to come out. And when he did, that was a good scene, you know.
So the original character is Mark Spencer, or is it Steven?
No, the original character was Mark Spencer. And okay. There was, when he was first introduced, there wasn't as much supernatural elements to him. He was basically just a guy who wore a silver white suit, and he would almost be like Dog the Bounty Hunter. He would be sent out, get a target, and like, you know what, go capture him, bring him back here. So he would go out and do these jobs. And when he's introduced, his first job, well, the first job we see him in, is he's sent out to capture Jack Russell, the werewolf by night. Ah. Because this group, you know, wants a werewolf in its menagerie. So he goes out, because who better to fight a werewolf than a guy who's decked out all in silver?
True.
You know, so that was his introduction. All the supernatural stuff and the multiple personalities came about later. But and he goes through that in the comic series over and over again. There's usually a new personality that forms or comes in, comes back. His supporting cast is made up of people who know what's going on and they just put up with it until eventually they get sick of it and leave. You know, so he's got a very, depending on when you were reading him, the story could change very often. There was a time there where he was just Mark Spencer. There were no multiple personalities. And, you know, instead of just being silver, he got a whole bunch of gold jewelry, which gave him different powers as well. It's like the characters changed a lot.
Well, I have a question. In the show, I noticed in the beginning episode that he is calling his mother, but you never really see any response from the mother. It's just him leaving a voicemail. Does Mark Spencer have a family connection?
I don't remember, because when he first appeared, and for a while there, his only companion was Frenchie, who flew the Moon Knight copter for him. And whenever he needed to get somewhere, Frenchie would show up in a helicopter and throw down a ladder and he'd climb up. But I don't remember him ever having a mom. I'm just wondering if that's, if she's a coping mechanism that's put in place for Steven's personality, because he always kind of feeds the conversation the same way.
Yeah, like, he does.
I don't know if she's real or not, or a figment of the personality. And that's the thing that happens in Moon Knight. You don't know how much of these personalities are real, and how much is just in his head. So, I mean, and you see, that's where I get a problem with the character, because that gets a little too wonky. I think it's cool enough that he's the avatar of a god, you know, and he's on Earth trying to do that god's bidding, even though he doesn't really agree with the god. And I like the character design of Khonshu, how he's got that like bird-like skull, but it floats over the body. It's not connected. It's kind of, I just think it's kind of cool. It's weird and creepy enough that, I don't know, I just think it's cool. But like I said, the second episode doesn't add all that much. It just builds on what we saw in the first episode. I didn't like it as much, but I still thought it was pretty good. They did flesh out the villain a little bit and his role. So that would be interesting to see. But no, I'm liking it so far. I'm liking it. I have to say, I'm probably liking it the most out of the Disney Plus series so far.
I am too, I will say. I just, like I said, what my problem was, I think how they should have opened the second episode was just to see Moon Knight after he finishes destroying that jackal and maybe go off on the rooftop or something like that. But again, I guess it's kind of difficult too, because Moon Knight really doesn't talk, right? Well, in the series, he doesn't.
In the comics, he does.
But in the series, does he?
I don't think we've heard him talk.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I think that's a mistake, if that's the case. And maybe I'm wrong.
He may. I mean, he was running on the roof. He didn't have anybody to talk to. So maybe we'll see him speak with somebody going forward.
But I think that they missed an opportunity where they just could have maybe continued that scene or expanded it from the end scene from the first episode. And instead, I think we went right to Steven and him being confused again. But yeah, I kind of ragged on Layla a little bit, but I think it was a little bit unfair. Because if that's the case, I could say the same thing about Black Widow. You know, they are what you have to suspend your disbelief with a lot of the characters, because, you know, they're comic book characters. But she's good. I think she's fine.
Well, I mean, I didn't think she had as much of a Mary Sue moment. I mean, if the guy showed up and she started just pounding the heck out of them and taking them out, that'd be like, okay, come on, you know, another super fighter woman. But she was more just trying to get away. And when she went out the window and kind of was creeping along the side, she didn't look comfortable out on the window. She looked like she was scared, like, oh crap, I'm going to fall. So she didn't have that Mary Sue confidence to her. And even when she was on her moped, we didn't see her, you know, skidding under trucks, you know, keeping it on the side or doing crazy things. But what the heck is it with Disney and like Vespas and scooters?
Yeah, they're there in a lot of stuff.
Like, I don't see that many of them around. And we had the scooter utes in The Mandalorian. Now we have Scooter Girl in Moon Knight. Like, Why can't she have like a dirt bike or something, you know, like something?
Maybe yeah, that's trying, true. They're trying to be, you know, environmentally friendly. So they're brainwashing us to get a scooter or a Vespa.
Yeah, but you just don't have that high speed stakes with like a scooter or a Vespa.
It
just,
no, you're right. That
just
been cool.
Doesn't work.
Oh, if I could have the Batmobile, I'd take it any day.
If I had a scooter or a Vespa, Joe would just mock me every day. Even though he wouldn't see me on it, he would just mock me every day. Well, and Jack, you know what? I'd probably deserve it too.
If you do it though, you have to have the nice, you know, grandpa cloth cap, and you got to have your little newspaper and a little dog in the back.
No, I would paint flames on it because, you know, painting flames on it always makes it look faster.
Yeah, I can't see you in a Vespa, Jack. I could see you.
And you won't.
I could see you in a sidecar on a motorcycle.
Nice, with those goggles. Yeah.
If I had a motorcycle, I would definitely have a sidecar.
Like the one in Indiana Jones.
Even if it was just to carry groceries.
He'd have his little dog in there.
I would have my dog.
Heck yeah.
Penny and I would go up to Dunkin' Donuts, and I just have her strapped into the sidecar, and she'd be crying at the Dunkin' Donuts person to give her a munchkin or something. I would definitely, me and Penny would be all over Hillsboro.
There you go. There's a sponsor. America runs on Dunkin'. Yeah.
There we go.
So let me ask you this, Jack, because I think you'd mentioned this before. So in the comics, does the phases of the moon affect Moon Knight? Like, does he have different powers? Like, is he stronger during a full moon?
I honestly don't recall.
Unless I'm confusing it with a different character.
I don't recall if he had different powers during different phases of the moon. They did an interesting thing with him in the current story arc in Avengers, where Khonshu sent him out and was amplifying his powers, where he was able to retrieve different artifacts throughout the Marvel comics, where he went over and he beat Iron Fist and took the birthright of the Iron Fist away from Danny Rand. He was able to take Mjolnir somehow through Khonshu's intervention. And he did all this stuff to like steal the Avengers' powers. And it came down to him and the Black Panther. And the reason he couldn't get the Black Panther's power because that is tied to T'Challa's spiritual side.
Exactly.
It's not an
Wakanda
object.
Wakanda forever.
Huh?
It's exactly right. Wakanda forever.
Right. So for him to get T'Challa's powers, T'Challa would have to give it up to him. And T'Challa's like, yeah, heck no. You know, you're not getting the Panther. You know, so the two of them were going at it, but it was kind of cool to see Moon Knight put in that situation where he's going up, you know, some heavy hitters in the Avengers and he's beating them. So it was kind of cool. It kind of reminded me a bit of how people always say, you know, oh, Batman could beat anybody if he has time to plan. And we kind of saw Moon Knight do something like that. So it was kind of cool. And the whole time he's doing it, he's arguing with Khonshu because he doesn't want to do any of this stuff, you know? So at the end of the arc, he's actually invited to join the Avengers and he turns him down, which I kind of thought was a nice touch that, you know, they didn't bring him in, you know, at the end to tie everything up in a nice happy bow. He's like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I'm doing my own thing. Which, honestly, I could see Batman saying that to the bunch of them any day of the week.
Yeah.
To the Justice League, like, no, I'm doing my own thing. You go do your thing. I'm going to pursue my justice and keep my city safe. But like I said, I like where the series is going. I am happy it's only 6 episodes because I think that forces them to tell a tighter story without putting too much fluff in. I know Joe hates the Netflix series because he feels there's too much fluff in them. But Netflix had much deeper fluff than Disney Plus puts into their series. So that this is a 6-episode run, I'm very happy with. And I honestly think they should keep it at 6 episodes for each
one. No, I agree. Again, if Daredevil was 6 episodes, I probably would have watched all 3 seasons of it.
But you wouldn't have gotten nearly as much out of it. Like I said, the Netflix series, even though they were twice as long, everything that was in there kept going to character development. And it never felt like a throwaway episode. There was always something that added to the story in every episode. I can't say that about Falcon and Winter Soldier. I can't say that about WandaVision. Hawkeye was a little tighter. I liked Hawkeye.
Yeah.
But Disney should really keep its stories a lot tighter in the Disney Plus series. And I think they learned a lot from Hawkeye, and I hope that Moon Knight continues to go along those lines.
Agreed. And so far, I think it's good. Let's just hope that they get better. All right, let's wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can always send me email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And Fedra?
You can be my friend on Facebook or follow me on Instagram and email me at fedra@wdwnt.com.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. And check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney and Universal news. And please visit the Carousel of Products. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT's Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT.
So speaking of the Carousel of Products.
Yes.
So Fedra, once we start producing the Slave Fedra mugs, will you sign them?
For any fan that wants one.
There we go, folks. You have it here.
But would you sign a Slave Leia comic book?
No.
Oh, you wouldn't? All right.
No. if somebody made a drawing of me or took a photo of me, that's something else, but not something that George Lucas made or any illustrator. I wouldn't feel right to do that. But I mean, of course, if someone insisted, but I just don't see that happening.
So just a mug.
Just a mug.
I'm waiting till people start asking, when is this thing coming out?
Yeah. All right.
It's so a running joke, folks. Don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe, now that I've completely interrupted you and sidetracked your credits, go for it.
Well, that's good, Jack, because we missed you last week, so it's nice to have you interrupt me every now and then. All right, with that, all right, that's enough, Jack. the last time I was trying to take a pee, and you were taking a sweet-ass time. With that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert, Season 8, Episode 17. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all, and be good to each other.
Good night, everyone.